You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we are looking back at the top 18 players in fantasy basketball over the last 2 weeks. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it indeed.
A quick reminder. These are based on category leagues. They are based on per game numbers as well. And they are not including turnovers because, as I've told you plenty of times, if you look at numbers including turnovers in an algorithmic rank, it skews your numbers and it is not an accurate representation of their value. So while these might be technically 8 category rankings, they are valuable and they are still what you should be looking at in terms of 9 cat leagues. And I cannot stress that enough. Anyway, let's get into the top list of these guys. At number one, I don't think anyone would be all that surprised. James Harden, his value is almost double the second best player over this time frame, averaging 42.6 points over 5 threes, 7 rebounds, 8.5 assists, 2.2 steals. 88% on 17 attempts from the free throw line is an astounding number, and he's not actually hurting you in field goal percentage that much. 45% on a whopping 25 attempts per game. Harden is the number one player this season. He's the number one player these last 2 weeks. He's my projected number one player for the rest of the season. He was my projected number one player at the beginning of the season. All is coming into plan, except I didn't think he'd be this good. No one thought he'd be averaging 40 points a game, and that is exactly what he is doing. At number two on this list, we are looking at Tone Davis of the LA Lakers. Over the last 8 games, which is 2 weeks for Davis, 33 minutes a game, averaging 27.5. The rebounds were down. They are coming back up a bit. They're still not where they were as a center in New Orleans because he's playing as a power forward for LA. 1.5 threes and 3 assists, but it's the 2 blocks, the 1.5 steals, and the 50 and 86, which is really boosting him right up these ranking numbers. Davis comes in number 2, barely ahead of the next two guys and significantly behind Harden in terms of overall value numbers. Harden's at a 2.05. Davis is at a 1.05. That just shows you the separation between those guys. And if I was to go through, and I love doing this, but the difference between Harden and Davis in that overall value is 1. The difference between Davis, if you go down 1 less than him, down to the guy that's at 0.05, you are looking at Kelly Oubre Jr. That is how big of a difference Harden has over Davis in the last 2 weeks. At number 3, actually these guys are pretty much equal at 3 and 4, but number 3 is Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks. 32 points a game, 8 assists, over 4 threes, shooting 50 and 93. He is, over the course of the season, the 7th ranked player so far. I think there is going to be an element of regression to that shooting. A 50% shooter is probably not something we can expect from Young moving forward, but he is, to me, a guaranteed first round guy for this year and for the next 10 years plus. Absolutely putting up massive numbers, as is the bloke coming in at number 2, a fellow second-year player, Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks. 31-9-9, 3 threes and 1.3 steals, 81 from the line on 10 attempts. Remember how bad that was last year? 47% from the field on 21 attempts per game. That's pretty strong. And he's doing it while only shooting 31% from 3. So it's not fueled by a 45-46% 3-point shooting. If he has a hot stretch where he starts hitting 39-40% of his 3s, then his value goes absolutely sky high. Really putting in the work. And those 4 are putting in great numbers. Doncic is actually the number 2 ranked player over the course of the season. I project him to finish from here on out as the number 3 ranked guy for the rest of the year. The next player, the 5th ranked guy over the last 2 weeks, we've got Karl Anthony Towns of the Timberwolves, averaging 26-13 with 6 assists, a block, 48-93% from the line. Just ho-hum stuff from Towns. He's hitting over 3 threes a game. He is actually ridiculous. He is a guy that I took number 1 in a couple of drafts this season, in a roto draft where I just wanted to mix it up from going with Harden, and I couldn't be happier really with what Towns is producing. Really, really strong numbers from him. And number six is where the real surprises begin, and Zach LaVine comes in at number six. He is averaging, over his last seven games, 28 points, four triples, 1.4 steals, shooting 50 and 82 from the line. The assist numbers, they're relatively low, 3.3, under four rebounds a game. But that elite-level shooting, that high usage, the great free throw percentage on high free throw rate is really propping LaVine up at the moment. That usage at 31% is obviously huge. The true shooting at 66 is massive. He is bound for a regression, in my opinion, because he just isn't this level of a shooter, and he's not backing it up with massive peripherals. The 1.4 steals are really nice, but he is on an absolute tear at the moment. He is hitting 52% of his threes over the last seven games, a number which is bound to come down. This is not a sell high show, but this is a prime sell high moment for LaVine, who is the 36th ranked player over the course of the season. Next up,
LeBron James.
James is at number seven, averaging 26, 5, and 10, 1.5 steals, 51, and 68. We know the free throw issues with LeBron. He's hitting two threes a game on just 31% as well. He's been much better this season than what he was last year. He's the 9th ranked player overall this year. I think he's probably, he can be a first round guy for the rest of this season. That's no guarantee, of course, but he is looking a lot better than what he did last season. The next two blokes, real stunners, both Memphis Grizzlies players. At number 8, Jonas Valanciunas, in 5 games is averaging 20 and 12.5, 1.2 steals, 1.6 blocks, 64 and 70 from the field and from the line. That field goal percentage is what is pushing him this high. We've talked, or I have talked ad nauseum, about giving him 30 minutes a night and just seeing the numbers roll in. I didn't expect them to roll in to be the number 8th ranked player, but he can block 1.5 shots a game. He can score, he can rebound, he can be efficient. He is just the 64th ranked player this season. I think he finishes the season as a top 50 guy, but if they play him 30 a night, then he will be significantly better than that. And then at number 9, his Memphis teammate Ja Morant, who is currently injured, of course, but over the last 2 weeks, he's played 4 games, 19, 3, and 8, with 3 steals, 45, and 82. That 3 steals is the number that should really stand out like dog's balls to you. It's not the number that's going to be able to remain. Obviously, you can't sell high on a bloke who's week to week with a back injury, but he is going to tumble down these rankings when those steal numbers regress. But it is encouraging to see him up there at the very least at the age of 20. Let's move on now to look at the next group of guys in this top 18. At number 9, number 10, Fred VanVleet of the Toronto Raptors. Now, most of these games have come without without Kyrie Irving. Try again. One of those K guys, Kyle Lowry. That is the guy. 38 minutes a game, 21, 3, and 7 with 2.3 steals. This is a guy that can generate steals. The scoring is solid. It's really good. The minutes are up, but I think the minutes and the usage are going to come down. Fred is the 20th ranked player over the season. I think he's more likely to be like a 30th ranked guy as we move forward. And this top 10 current rank is probably not going to stick. Number 11, we're looking at Christian James McCollum of the Portland Trailblazers. CJ is averaging 25, 4, and 4.5 with 1.7 blocks. It is helped by the fact that he got 4 blocks last game, but there are numerous regression signs here. 4.6 assists is way above what he's been doing. 1.7 blocks, nonsense for a 5'2" guard. 52% from the field, not going to stick. Hasn't missed a free throw? Of course not. So there are prime regression numbers here. He is 45th on the season. I don't know whether he finishes the year as the top 50 guy because there are some significant regression factors there in his numbers. Number 12, Brandon Ingram of the Pelicans. 37 minutes a night. That's obviously really helping. 28% usage, 25, 7, and 4. Under a steal, but 1.3 blocks. The most impressive thing with Ingram, it's not his three-point shooting, because that is impressive, and it has regressed from that 50% number, which of course it was always going to, 38% over the last seven games, but the volume of it is what's really interesting, considering he just refused to take them as a Laker. 6 a game at the moment, hitting 2 of them a game. That's pretty strong. But also, free throws. Over 6 free throw attempts per game, 93%. Now, that is, over the last 2 weeks, his number one fantasy category. His second fantasy category is points, which is heavily influenced by the free throw percentage category as well. So there are some regression elements there when Zion eventually returns. Maybe you think Zion doesn't return. I'm not one of those people. But when Zion returns, he's going to lose some of that usage. Ingram is the 16th ranked player on the season. I think he probably is a top 25 type of guy for the rest of the year, not a top 12 first round player. Jim Butler comes in at number 13, averaging 22, 6, and 6 with 2 steals, 46, and 86. And I look at this and go, yeah, cool. This is just what Jim Butler is going to be, I think. 11th ranked over the season. This is the sort of area that we look at Butler for the rest of the season. Next up, 14, Clint Capella, averaging 41 minutes a game over his last three. He has been injured during that time or ill. 20 points, 21 rebounds, 1.3 blocks, 70% from the field. He is just putting up massive numbers in a couple of categories and then not much in the others. One steal, 1.7 assists, 50% from the line. Some really, really big numbers in those categories that you want him to be big at. The next bloke, maybe this isn't apropos, but I like it anyway. The world. There is sometimes a correlation between being a good player and being a good fantasy contributor. Sometimes there is not. Sometimes you can be a very good NBA player and a poor fantasy contributor. Sometimes you can be a below average NBA player and a good fantasy contributor. I think someone like Levine perhaps falls into that category, and I am sure that Hassan Whiteside falls into that category. Whiteside is averaging 27 minutes a game, 16.5 and 14.5. Excellent numbers. 3.2 blocks, beautiful. 63% from the field, fantastic. And he's at 67% from the line, and he actually can be better than that. So he is putting up the big numbers. I am not thinking that Yusuf Nurkic is coming back and taking minutes away. For a start, Whiteside's only playing these 27 a night. So it's not like he's playing 35 a night and he's going to go back to 28. Like, he's around 28 most nights anyway. So Nurkic is coming back, and I don't think he's coming back and playing 28 minutes. So if Nurkic comes back, I don't think he's playing 28. He comes back and plays a 20, 21-minute a night role as the backup and becomes the starter again next season. So while I do think there is some regression here, especially that block number for Whiteside, I don't really worry about the Nurkic return having that much of an impact on him later on. Next up, we have got Drew Holiday. He comes in at number 16, averaging 38 minutes, 22, 5, and 6, 1.7 steals and a block, 49, and a weird 65% from the line. So that can improve. I also do think the usage, much like with Ingram, when Zion returns, it will impact Drew's usage. That will start to come down. The minutes also, 38, are pretty high at the moment. But he's putting up strong enough numbers. The 21st ranked player over the season. Remember when people were shitting themselves about how bad Drew was to begin the year? Oh, I wasted a pick on him. I wasted my third round. I wasted my second round. Well, he's back inside the second round at the moment. And he's look. And I do think there will be somewhat of a drop-off when Zion does return, though. The next guy, another prime sell-high type of player, Spencer Dinwiddie, the 17th ranked player, averaging 25, 3, and 7 with a steal. Now, we don't know when Kyrie Irving is returning. That's what makes selling high on him a difficult task. It might be 2 weeks. It might be 2 months for Irving. If it's 2 months, then you don't want to sell Dinwiddie. But I don't expect him to remain at this level necessarily, even if Irving is out. Look, there's a chance he could be maybe a top 35 guy while Kyrie is sidelined, but I'm not certain that that's going to be the case. But that his value is all predicated on Irving's situation. And if Irving is back, then Dinwiddie goes back to being a back-end guy and maybe not even a rosterable guy. But at the moment, the numbers are obviously really fantastic. And the last guy on my top 18 list is Joel Embiid of the Sixers, averaging 22 and 13, 1.4 blocks, 45 and 86. People are annoyed at Embiid this season. He was like that back-end first-round guy. He is now still the 18th ranked player on a per-game basis this season. I think he can be better than that because his free throw rate hasn't been great this season. He's shooting at not a high level, and there's still improvement to come there from Embiid, but he's still returning that second-round value for you at the moment. If I just round out the top 24 here, at 19 is Drummond, 20 is Beal, 21 is Lillard, 22 is Siakam, 23 is George, and 24 is the blue arrow Jamal Murray. That'll do it for me today, guys. I'll be back later on to recap all of the action from Thursday's games and preview Friday's games. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and you will never miss an episode. Give me a review, a rating, and leave a comment down below on YouTube. Give me a thumbs up. All of that stuff helps the podcast immensely, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.